are to do the same, he taught us. And that's difficult. Or am I making a fuss about that? Don't we find it just a bit tricky? Now, we are all very different. Looking round and thinking of the people, perhaps, who aren't here, particularly the smaller ones, we are all very different indeed, whether it's in age or ability or personality or whatever it might be. We are tall or small, we are good at football, we are good at reading, we are good at making clothes or altering them, we are good at looking after hedgehogs or cats or dogs, we are good at model railways or bellringing or making marmalade or cutting hair or whatever. And indeed, in our congregation, we have people who do all of these. You just need to find out who you all are. Did anyone see the article on the local news, Points West, about a man called Theo over the last few days? No? Theo. Theo the barber. Theo. Is Lee Theobald, Theo, my voice booms forth. I don't like to say it. I didn't miss much, but there we go. Apart from hedgehogs. You miss the hedgehogs. So we're talking about Points West now, and Theo the barber. Now Theo is a Buddhist barber, and he lives in Highbridge. He decided to shut up shop for one day a week, having established a reasonable sort of business, and to go out onto the streets and to give people in Glastonbury a haircut for free on the streets. So he set up a chair and he tootles off there one day a week and he cuts their hair. And he goes round to them where they are too. He was inspired to do this by his friend Jamuna, and his friend Jamuna produces hot food for them twice a week. Now, I would sort of think that that might well be an indication of the Holy Spirit at work and challenging our boundaries. It's one of those things which is just brilliant for everyone. The people on the street suddenly feel that they are presentable again. They are suddenly part of the human race again. Somebody is actually looking after them, cherishing them, and they feel as if they belong to society in a way that perhaps they haven't done for some time, because the rest of their lives are really very difficult for all sorts of reasons. But suddenly, here is somebody doing something very personal for them in a very generous and way without any agenda at all. See, it's very good for Theo. Theo was just glowing with it. Because actually the fact that he was making a difference gave him a warm feeling too. Because it's difficult to know sometimes how you can actually make a difference with the skills that you have. Just being able to offer something back, as he said. Now clearly, not all of us have the barbering skills to whip out to Glastonbury once a week. But we should perhaps, or might perhaps, wonder what we can do to show Jesus' love in places where it perhaps hadn't been seen or felt before. If we can all look after hedgehogs or cats or dogs, or be expert in model railways, or be bell ringers or make marmalade, or whatever, then maybe there is some place for whatever our skills are in our communities just to be given, as Theo does, without strings. So So we can all do something. And just as Theo needed Jamuna to give him the idea, to give him the confidence to perhaps model it, so we need each other for inspiration and to give each other courage to do something. To do the what if so and so, or would it work and what might we do? So as Jesus himself does put his song of love into our hearts, and we are, as we will see next, bound together in unity and in the power of Jesus' love, we want what is best for each other and for everyone else. And actually, in the long run, that will be best for us too. We sang about Jesus putting a song of love into our hearts. And that story of Theo may remind us, again, that we are to learn to love like Jesus did and Jesus does. Jesus washed feet and Theo cuts hair, but it's still an act of selfless love for somebody else. Our act of selfless love will look very different as we live our lives, but that will be what's underlying them. And all that can only happen in the unity of the Holy Spirit. So a few questions. Now, I like a horror of horrors, but this is supposed to be, an all-together service. Horror of horrors. I want you to talk to each other. And then you can talk back at me, so that's a good thing. What might that look like in our own lives? Series of questions now. So ponder that. What might it look like in your life if you thought, what is my special little thing and what can I do with it? When you come to think of it, there are lots of little groups that meet either together or in outreach in all sorts of ways. And we are part of all of those and can offer whatever it is that we bring in all those circumstances. And what might exercising our quirks look like? Because I think it's best described as a quirk, really. I have quirks, so I don't expect anybody else to be quirk-free. And what about how we can actually do things together, not only as this church community, but throughout the parish? How might that change the way we communicate with the different churches in our parish? How can we all act together? So it's a very bundled question, but just ponder what God gives you about it. You're very quiet. It's not healthy. Yes. Does anybody else think that's true?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Yes, I think you've absolutely hit a nail on the head, Doris, haven't you? Because we can very much feel that, you know, we or our community is at the centre of our lives rather than actually putting God there. And that's in a way where it all fails to feel as if it's got the Holy Spirit breathing through it. So I think you're right. Always we need to be thinking about other people and lifting the whole situation to God. Margaret came up with another very good thing. She said, "Don't you think," she said in my ear, "that all our quirky bits add up to something much greater?" And of course it does, don't you think?
Yes.
It is our individual tapestry, well, our tapestry as a community of what is going on here and how we can actually express that. And in a sense, what Doris said is that actually we don't express that terribly well always, partly because either we don't feel we know the language and how to do it, or we wonder what people might think of us. And there is definitely, I think, a thing of what people might think of us as Christians, because sometimes I think we confuse unity of the Spirit with uniformity as Christians. Sometimes we think we all ought to act and behave a certain way. And actually God created each and every one of us to be ourselves, unique, different, quirky, and all the rest of it. Or have I got that badly wrong?
No.
So if God made us to be us, then we have to learn to be us as well and as freely and in unity to the very best of our ability. So what might inspire us to do that, just as Jamuna inspired Thea? Is there anything else we need to kind of get us going? Either as individuals.
Well, perhaps we should get to know each other a bit more. I would suggest we have a name tag for every shared communion. I've been coming here 17 years nearly, and I know very few people by name.
Yeah. I, in theory, of course, at least, that's what coffee is supposed to help with. I mean, one of the things, apart from giving us a cup of coffee, which some of us very much need afterwards. But I think that, you know, we are a bit reluctant to share, to become interdependent. And if we're not interdependent, how can we be a community? Answers, please, on a postcard. I don't think we can be a community unless we realise that we are all of us dependent on God, but actually we depend on each other to be able to express our gifts and the gifts that God has given us, both in the community and in the wider world. But what might we need for that to get going? Are there any people that we might need to involve with if we have a particular heart for something? Are there different groups that we could actually join up with and make it happen? Can we actually do things more jointly with different parts of not only our parish, but perhaps people beyond that? I think we must be open to all of these ideas and maybe actually talk about these things much more afterwards, you know, over coffee, in our groups, in our friendship groups. Because how can it all spread otherwise? The ideas that actually continue to be ruminated on in our heads very often don't get any further than that. They very often don't get as far as our hearts, let alone anywhere beyond that.
Could I say something?
Do.
We're not members of this fellowship, but we do come occasionally. And the first reading that we had today says that God gave particular gifts to build up the body.
Yes.
And that we need those people, the apostle, the prophet,
yes,
the teacher, the pastor, who's the other, evangelist.
Yes.
In order for us to be built up.
Yes.
To do the work. And we sometimes look to the person at the front to do it all or to cheer us up.
And the person at the front can never ever live up to that.
Yeah. But that's the purpose that God gave those gifts.
Yes.
To build up the body.
Yes. We are the body of Christ. And the body doesn't need 73 of one thing and nothing of another. It needs all sorts of different, quirky, individual bits that all somehow, with God's grace, work together, not only to build itself up to keep it healthy, but actually to fulfil the purpose that Jesus gave us of going out into the world and helping other people to know God's love as we do. Unless I've got that all very badly wrong. Not as deeply as we might. Nice sermon, Vicar.
Right.
Is all I can say.
Right to that point, a few weeks ago, there was a young couple here of Indian origin who were going back home to their family. Caroline.
No.
Do you want to have anybody there with the wrong?
No, I don't think it was Sorry, I'm sorry to spring this on you, Dave.
600 people have died out there, drowning in the Caribbean.
They have.
And they're going to have to look up. Has anybody heard any news from them?
No, I wasn't aware of them.
We have prayed for them.
Yes, we have. Of course, we've prayed for the Caribbean.
We have a little bit of a personal connection.
Yes. No, but it's a very good example of actually knowing people up to a point, but somehow actually not knowing them beyond that, and therefore being able to pray for them as personally or as deeply as we might. And it's a difficult thing, I think, to do with keeping respectful boundaries, but actually knowing enough about our fellow Christians so that we can join together more meaningfully.
Carol.
I suppose that's in my situation. You haven't been confirmed about cancer. And everybody I'm told has been very supportive and praying for me. So it's a case of being upfront with people and not being frightened of saying or being, you know, want to keep everything to yourself.
And that takes an enormous amount of courage in itself, doesn't it? Because in lots of ways, you have to admit what it is that's painful for you and articulate it. And somehow telling it to other people in a way puts it out there, and that's difficult. And it's also an extraordinary act of trust. And I think it's the... particularly when we're vulnerable, it's difficult to be trusting of other people. And of course, churches, you know, unlike God, are collections of people, and we are imperfect. And people, you know, occasionally people will respond in ways that we don't find helpful.
I've got to be able to accept help. You think, I can do it, I'll do it on my own.
Yes. Well, I think Western society has made us aspire to independence rather than the sort of slightly more, what I would think of as grown-up thing of interdependence, because we are going to be interdependent, to depend on one another, because nobody has everything, and maybe that's the point.
I was going to say, the hardest thing, it seems to me, is getting to feel confident in yourself, actually, to understand yourself well enough to know what you stand for, what you can do, what you're able to do. Very often, we are all taught to be shrinking violets and to deny that. That's one thing. And it's the same as the way that we deal with other people, that I've got a particular thing about obituaries. I hate obituaries. You know, I'm sure that when we all die, somebody will stand up and say wonderful things about us. And yet those self-same people every day had the chance to say to everybody they met just how they felt about them. So what I'm saying is, in part, if we're going to build community, it's about understanding ourselves, it's about recognising the specialness of other people, and actually telling them about it, to help them recognise themselves, so that then we can make a step forward, because we can feel that we've got something to offer, and we've also got something that we need from other people, and therefore we can build a community.
Yes, and we need to build each other up in truth. Because after all, speaking the truth in love in lots of circles has got rather a bad name. And I just want to briefly mention, it came to mind when you said that, Colin. I had a rather odd encounter in a supermarket some years ago, which has always encouraged me to do exactly that. I'm not very good at it, but somebody came up to me in a supermarket and said, I wanted to thank you for something or other. I can't even remember what it was about. And said something nice to me, and I practically fell over in the aisle at Morrison's, as you would, you know. Because this was a chap I probably hadn't seen for several years, who used to live next door. And he said, I wanted you to know that because of this thing, exactly what you said, Colin, that actually nobody ever tells people what they treasure about them, and it only ever comes out after they've died. And he was actually making a sort of discipline of going around telling people what they had meant to him. And I've had other friends who've done similar things, either in letters or whatever, and have found it an extraordinarily healing experience, and somehow they have known their place in their world differently in consequence. Tim.
Just wanted to quickly mention sort of my own experience, having gone through the Explore course a couple of months ago and now the Karen and Paula course. First one was about, you know, Christian living, and we were a group of maybe a dozen people of this parish, and similarly now about 10 to 12 people. And despite exploring Christian living and maybe the Karen one more about evangelism, it's really helped me getting to know people, certain people of this church. And I think this is really where relationships grow, and we get to know each other and how we worship, what our fears are, what our strengths are. And yeah, I really value that experience as part of that course.
Yeah. Has anybody anything else to contribute at the moment? Because it seems to me that that, I don't like to use that word, that BBC word, segues, but it does rather segue. It follows, it'll follow on very, very nicely to our second hymn, which is Bind Us Together. So may these thoughts and ponderings continue living in the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds over the coming days and weeks. And may the Spirit bring to fruition whatever is needed in our time and place. Amen. Because it follows on so well. So let's stand to sing Bind Us Together, which is number 54 if you're using your books. What I want to do though is we will omit verse 2 if you're using your book. So we'll sing verses 1 and 3, but we will sing We Are the Family of God as a sort of extra last verse. So that will be our third verse. Because I don't want this to be about us as individuals, I want it to be about us as community. So please stand to sing.